starts off, guys, it starts off with the following. By Davish Shalom Shalom, Tzavet Aaron Mizbana Flame, where Zoskas Ola, Heo Law, Makdom, and Zakol. I let a book of Ashen Zakol, Bo, command Aaron, all of his children, saying, this is the Torah of the Ola. This is the Ola that was brought up on top of the fire on the Mizbach all night until morning, and the fire of the Mizbach should be lit up in it. So according to Rashi, Rashi says, Ein Tzavet Loshen Zeruz Miad Ladoros. It's a reference to how Moshe Rabbeinu doing something in a Zoristic way, or telling Aaron to do it in a Zoristic way. Be quick, hurry and do this, and command Aaron and his children that the Yosef Tzarach Kos of Makam Shesh Bochasan case where there's a loss, then you should go ahead and tell them, don't worry, you're still going to get your money back or everything will be okay, but you have to do this mitzvah anyway. The Chazal tells the following, that anyone who learns about the Korban Olah, they don't bring the Korban Olah, but they learn about it, they learn the Torah of the Korban Olah, it's as if they brought a Korban Olah. Now granted, by Korbanos, usually the Kohen got something out of it. The Chatzis and the Ashram, he ate it, right? By the Shlomim, he got part of it, he got little parts of it, right? By the Ola, he didn't get much. He got the skins, and that was about it. But at least he got the skins. The Ola was brought up entirely on the Mizbech, but he got at least a little bit from it. So what happens is the Kohen is going to lose out. Because if you go and you tell people, Zos Torah Sa'ola, that if you learn about the Korban Ola, it's as if you brought a Korban Ola, then people are going to stop bringing Olas. Instead, all they're going to do is sit at home and learn it, and they won't want to bring a Korban Ola. Because listen, bringing a Korban is a lot of time, a lot of money, and it's a lot of, you know, it's a big deal. I don't want to have to do that. But Israel didn't want to have to do such a thing. So the concept was, is that Aaron might think to himself, I'm not going to tell the people about this. Zos Torah Ola, I'm not going to tell them this, because if I do, they're not going to bring me an Ola. I'm going to lose out on the skins, I'm going to lose out on money. So we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, do it anyway. Tell it over to the people, so that the people know that Torah is still greater than bringing a Korban Ola. And obviously, that's exactly what Aaron did. Aaron understood that, yeah, I know. Even though I'm going to lose out on something by them learning, instead of bringing a Korban Ola, I realize I'm going to tell them
that,
anyway.
That's pretty negative to say that, that's like his motivation is, or there's even an aspect of his motivation is, hey, I'm going to get something out of that.
I think more of a forewarning rather than in actuality. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really thought that Aaron was going to do this, but to show us that Aaron didn't even have a thought of doing such a thing. He just offered it to him and said, you're going to have to go tell the people this. And if Aaron says, but I'm going to lose out on money, that's where we're saying, it's Tzav. You're going to do it anyway. And Aaron did do it anyway. That was the point. It was just more of a how would you put it, just a telling us that Aaron was doing it even though he was going to lose out on something. That was the concept. That was what he was going
to
do. Yeah.
Or warning to future Kohanim.
That's the idea. Somebody who wasn't Aaron, who was not one of his children, that they should still tell over this Svar Torah. Now the Chassam Sofer says there are five milos that Torah has over Korbanos, that a person who learns Torah is greater than a person who brings a Korban. What are the five things? Number one, Korbanos can only be brought when the Beis HaMikdash is around. Torah can be learned whether there's a Beis HaMikdash around or there's no Beis HaMikdash around. It doesn't make a difference if there's anything. Korbanos can only be brought at some times, and Torah can be learned at any time whatsoever. So that's an admonishment that you're still allowed to learn nowadays when there's no Beis HaMikdash. You can still come and learn. That's number one. Number two, Korbanos are only accepted because of Zchus HaTorah. Meaning, because the Aron Kodesh was there, therefore the Korbanos went up to Shemayim. In the Beis HaMikdash, where that Aron Kodesh was there, that's how it happened. So meaning, the Korban wasn't as Choshev as learning Torah itself. The Kohanim Gedolim had to be Talmidei Chachamim in order for the Korbanos to be accepted properly. So Korbanos require Torah. Number three, the Torah has no psolus at all. If you think something's wrong with it, that's because you don't have it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is perfect in every which way. Korbanos, on the other hand, have something that's wrong with it. They have something that's wrong with it. There's something called Deshem. There are ashes. Not all of the Korban is brought up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are ashes that are left. And in the morning, the Kohen, before it even hits morning, before the sun rises, the Kohanim have a job called Shumas HaDeshem, where they have to take these shovels and they have to scrape out the ashes from underneath the Korbanos. So the Korbanos leave garbage, while the Torah does not whatsoever. In fact, if you consider Torah to be garbage, then you're in the level of Yeshu. Everybody knows that Gemara and Gittin, right? And Zion and Aleph, what happens to Yeshu and Olam Haba? He's boiling and he's sitting and boiling feces all day. That's what happens to you. So if you want to join him in that, I'm sure it's a nice little vat. I'm sure there's an extra room and it'll move over a little bit. But that's the concept, that it becomes deshen by Korbanos, and it's not so by the Torah itself. The deshen, by the way, is going to be food for the chitzonim, which we're going to try to explain a little bit later. The eish on the mizbeach, the fire that came down from Shemayim, required an eish from Basar Vadon. A human being had to light the fire, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu finished it off. If a man did not light any fire, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fire did not come down from Shemayim. On the other hand, Torah, you can never extinguish. It can't go out. You don't need an Eishel Hedyot. It just needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it down, and the Torah is all the way, it's always B'siyata D'Shemayim. You need B'siyata D'Shemayim in order to learn Torah properly. Yeah.
How is the first reason a valid reason? Because just because something is, usually when something is done more and more often, when there are more possibilities to do it, it usually becomes more mundane.
Like, to you. It becomes more mundane to you.
Even a lot of Torah things, like
Tadir Sheno, Tadir Koda?
Going into
but Tadir is Koda.
Anything that requires you going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, well, that can only be done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
That's for different reasons. I hear you, but that's for different reasons. Anything that must be done daily makes it more cautious. Tadir Sheno, Tadir Koda. That's what makes it more cautious in by us. However, there are things that we can't do because we're just not privy to them. So you're right, there are things that are more Kadosh for us, but it still means Tadir Kodem. Tadir Kodem is the way that you look at it. What is something that we continuously do versus something that cannot be done by us nowadays? Number five, mitzvos only protect you while you're doing them. A korban can only protect you while you have the schus of the korban being brought up at that moment. Afterward, you still have a problem. Torah can protect you no matter what. Whether you're learning it or you're not learning it, whatever you're doing, whether it's before or afterward, you still have the schus of Torah. The Torah still works for you. Those are the five parts. I'm sorry? Shliach mitzvah in Nizokin while you're in the midst of the mitzvah. As soon as you finish the mitzvah, as soon as you finish doing whatever mitzvah it is, going to the mitzvah or getting whatever it is, then you don't get protected anymore. While Torah, either way, let's add that on. But Torah protects you no matter what. It protects you 5 days later. It protects you a month later. Even if you're not on the way to or on the way from learning Torah, it's still going to be able to help.
What about David HaMelech?
Which what?
What about David HaMelech when he was learning Torah right before he died?
Well, that's what he said. The Gemara says that, right? The Gemara in Shabbos.
Yeah, but it didn't protect him after.
You're saying because he had one person had to die. The fact is that Torah does protect you only at that moment because that's the only way that that Malach HaMelech can get you. But if it's your time to die, I would assume the time of death is going to supersede everything else. I would assume that that's something a little bit more. But it protects you from Yisurim. That's what it's supposed to be. So this is what it means by Zos Toras HaOla. Learning in Ola, learning about these Korbanos, does something for you. What does it do? Kol HaLaila Ad HaBoker. All night long until the morning, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Torah applies then. Kol HaLaila, all of Galus, Ad HaBoker, until the time that Mashiach comes, Meherav Yameinu, the Torah can be learned, unlike the Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Ish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. The fire of the Mizbeach is burned through it. Bo is a reference to the Torah. Because of this Chus HaTorah, therefore, the Korban is able to be brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Es HaDeshen. It's referring to right over here where it says, Mechzev Adi Vav Shlo Ve'irim Es HaDeshen. You have to lift up the Deshen, the ashes. The Korbanos have Deshen. But the Torah itself does not have any Deshen. And then it says, Uvir Aleh HaKohen. And the Kohen will burn on top of it, will burn something on it. In order to keep the fire going, the Kohen himself has to be involved burning the fire, unlike Torah, where a person does not have to be involved. Lo Sichbeh. It will not be extinguished forever. It would not be extinguished because the schus of those korbanos might be gone, but Torah is not so. By Torah, even after it's gone, it still has an ability to be able to work for you and affect you and do something for you. That shows you the chashivas of Torah versus the korbanos, that lo sich beh applies by the Torah itself as opposed to the korban. So those are the five ideas, says Chassam Sofer, of why somebody who's learning Torah is greater than somebody who brings a korban ola and what it applies in and how it works. Now, we did mention this thing about the ashes. What in the world is the true seduction? What is the Kohen doing by lifting up the ashes from on top of the Mizbeach and bringing them around? It's an avoda. People would wake up early to do it, and according to one opinion in the Gemara, they would fight for it and they would get rich from it, from the Truma Seder, cleaning up the ashes. This is a janitor's job. You should have a regular Yisrael doing this, not a Kohen. He had to change clothing to do the Truma Seder because it got so dirty. He had to take ashes outside of his back. All it took was a little bit of wind, and you could only use your right hand. The little bit of wind would throw it all over the place. What in the world was Truma Seder and what did it mean? So I found another Chassam Sofer. It's in the Drushos, page 260b. That's Reish Samach Amud Beis. Reish Samach Amud Beis. He's talking about Chad Gadya, and I thought it was perfect because it connected with Pesach. I thought, I can put the two together. every year, Chag Gadya is supposed to tell us what it was like when they used to go to the Beis HaMikdash and they used to bring their Korban Pesach and their Korban Chagiga. There were two Korbanos they brought. The Korban Pesach had to be eaten after the Korban Chagiga. Remember, they had to fill themselves up on meat that night. Korban Chagiga could be anything. It could be a sheep, it could be a goat, it could be a cow, it could be anything they wanted. And then after they had their fill of whatever Korban it was, then they would also bring aside from that Chagiga the Korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach had specific times when it was brought, and they ate it that night. It had to be eaten before Chatzos. That's what we now know as the Afikomen within the Matzah. That was the Afikomen. That's what they ended up happening. So the Chag Gadya is a reference to this idea. In Chagiga Daf Vav, Beit Hillel says that the Chagiga has to be worth Shtei Kesef, two silver pieces. So here's the idea. The Chag Gadya was bought with Trey Zuzay, with the two zuzim that my father gave for it. That's the idea, that it's a reference to the Korban Chagiga and the Korban and the Korban Pasach, and that's why I say Chag Gadya twice. The Zabin Abba Betray Zuzay that's bought for two zuzim is a reference to the Chagiga, and that's the Chag Gadya. So it's talking about how sad we are now that we've lost those two goats, that we no longer bring the Korban Chagiga and the Korban Pasach. So the Shimra, the cat, is a reference to song. He says it's a reference to Shira, even though it says Shunra, and it's with an Aleph. He says the reference to Shir. That's the song that they brought when they brought the Korban Pesach. What did they sing when they brought the Korban Pesach?
Chagat.
No, not Chagat, yeah. That was actually made, it was made about 10 centuries ago. More than Mizmor Lasoda. They sing Hallel. They sing Hallel the entire time. They have to go through it at least three times while they were sacrificing and bringing it up and everything. Hallel had to be sung, and it was sung slowly with everything. I'm sure they did the Karlbach Nigan or two. And they went all the way through. It was a long, long way all the way through. That's what the Shunra refers to, that the Shunra was brought together with the Chag Gadya. The Kalba, the dog, is a reference to Chatzos Laila. Anybody know why the dog would be a reference to Chatzos Laila? Very good, but they didn't leave at midnight. The Gemara says that there were three things. There are three parts of the Gemara Brachos, Luzan Gafdalid, that mentions there are three parts of the night. It does. Lo Yechartz Kalav L'Shono. Technically, it does apply to the night, but there are three parts of the night in which you dream. The first part of the night is known as a Hamor Noar, a donkey brained. Second part of the night is a dog barking. The third part of the night is reference to the babies waking up and suckling from their mother. That's what it's a reference to. So it splits up the night into these three mishmaros. That's what the Gemara goes into over there on Brachos, the different mishmors of the day. So the second mishmor is the klavim tzoaking. It's the dogs barking in the middle of the night. That includes Chatzos Laila. In the middle of the night, that's exactly when they did it. So we say that the kalba, the klavim tzoaking, is a reference to that. The kalba is remnants that you only had until Chatzos. You could only eat it until Chatzos Laila. That you had to eat it up until that point. That's when you had to do it. The chutra, the sick, is a remnant to the limbs and fats that burned all night long. Now, here he goes into something crazy. The chutra is a reference to a stick that drives away animals or things that we don't want. The limbs and the fats that burned all night long on top of the Mizbeach shuts up the mouths of the accusers. They're called the Mekatrigan, the demons that sit out there and say bad things about Klal Yisrael. These limbs and fats burning up, that ash that goes up all night long, knocks them out so they don't bark, so they don't do anything. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Nun Heyom and Beis, says that the way to feed a dog, yes, the Gemara goes into how to feed a dog. Unbelievable, isn't it? Is you pull on its ear and then you take a stick after it. Meaning you give it a little bit and then you take a stick so that it doesn't come back to you. People did not own dogs. They wanted dogs to be around because they were protective. So they gave them a little bit of food, but if they keep giving them food, they'll keep coming back. They don't want them to keep coming back. They have barely enough food for themselves. So they wanted to be able to just give a little bit of food, and then you take a stick and you hit it afterward. That's the remnant to what we're doing over here. And don't let PETA hear about that. But regardless, it's fine because they weren't around back then. It's the idea of these fats and limbs are the chutra to quiet down the klavim to make them stop. The fire, the ash that hit the chutra is a reference to Mizbeach, which is made up of all these sticks that are used to burn up the limbs to destroy all the accusers. The smoke that comes out blinds the eyes of those chitzonim, even though we can't rid ourselves of them completely, at least it stops them from going out. That's the entire neurah. The maya, the water, is the washing of the hands that the kohanim do before they start the avodah. They wash their hands underneath the kior. That's what they're supposed to do. And when they do that, they're washing themselves clean of all the impurities they have, which again knocks out the chitzonim. The tura, the ox, was the chagiga itself, because the chagiga could have been, it doesn't have to be a goat, it doesn't have to be a sheep, it could also be a bull. And what they used to do in order to strip or flay the skin better is that they used to feed it water right beforehand. And then the skin would come off a lot easier. I guess it was something that separated the skin from the rest of the flesh. I have no idea how it works. When I checked it, they never told us to do that. But regardless, it was something there. The Jews are obviously the shochtim, the people that were there. The Malach HaMavis is the satan that came and destroyed that Beit HaMikdash and doesn't allow us. But in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back. We'll bring the Korban Pesach again, and everything's going to be brought back. The Avodah will be brought back to Yerushalayim, and everything once and for all will all be done again. That was the remez to Chag Gadol that we're referencing to, that we're referring to in all this way. Now it says by the Menachos in Vayikra, Perek Beis, says V'nefesh ki sakriv. V'nefesh ki sakriv. When a soul, when a person brings a Korban Mincha, it's misratzeh. It's desired. It helps for the soul. What does that mean? What is a mincha? So, you know, we've always discussed, like, what korbanos do to a person, what a korban is supposed to help you for. Like, a korban is supposed to, it's supposed to make you think that you are the animal being brought up to God. Or the korban is supposed to be this idea of, you know, we go up against the avodah zarah. That's what korbanos are. What the hell? What in the world is a mincha? What is a mincha? A flower offering? What are you bringing flour for? What does that do for anybody? What are we doing with it? What's the point of it? So what is it? Says the Netziv, the nefesh ki sakriv mincha. When a soul brings a mincha, the reason why, says the Netziv, it comes from Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chavav. It says, im Hashem hasis chabi, yarach mincha. Shaul HaMelech is chasing after David HaMelech. David hides in a cave. He sees Shaul HaMelech, and Shaul HaMelech comes chasing after him. David HaMelech calls out to him and says, what are you angry at me for? What did I do? If I did something to you, then tell me now. What did I ever do to you? Is there ever anything that I did to you? And if God is Hasis Chabi, is inciting you against me, that God told you to fight me, says David HaMelech, then Yorach Mincha, I could just bring a Mincha. What does the Mincha have anything to do with anything? It seems that he's saying, if it's a Machla, that you're sad, Shaul, or there's something wrong with you, because Shaul was very, very sad, and David HaMelech used to play the harp for Shaul, said Shaul HaMelech would be happy again, if that's the problem, then it's just a lack in Midos. It's a character trait that needs to be fixed. And if you need to bring a character trait, the way to do that is to bring a Korban Mincha. That's what you should do. Bring a Korban Mincha. Here's the idea of what a Korban Mincha is. Yes, Korbanos is feeding meat to the Kohanim, but bread is more sustenance. If you bring a Mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, we're eating bread. You have a chiyuv to eat that bread. The Kohanim or the person, depending on what you're bringing, by the Korban Toda, how many loaves of bread are brought? Bread and matzah. 40 loaves of bread. Who in the world is eating 40 loaves of bread? It's that if you bring a Korban Toda, you're thanking God for something that He did for you, right? You're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're thinking of Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to tell over what God did for you. God saved me. How did He save me? He did this and that and the other for me. He went that and did this, that, and the other for me. That's what the Korban Toda is supposed to stand for, right? Okay. So here's the idea. You invite over all your friends, and you say to them, I only have one night to eat this Korban Toda. You have to come help me. And that night, you get everyone together, you have a huge meal, you bring bread for everybody, bread is brought there for everybody, and then everybody sits down and eats together. They all eat together, all at once.
Is that where Hodah comes from?
And that's the Sudas Hodah. Sudas Hodah is based on the Korban Toda. It's exactly what it's based off of. This is the idea of what it's supposed to be. The Korban Toda is this idea of bringing everything that you possibly can, so that it's a huge, it's this huge party with everyone together. A Korban Mincha fixes everyone's bad character traits. They're me, those things that they have to work on. That's what it's supposed to stand for. When Moshe Rabbeinu looks at Dustin and Aviram, and he sees that Dustin and Aviram are angry at him, and Dustin and Aviram say, we're not going to go up with you, we're not going to listen to you, we're not going to do anything. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Nathan el Minchasam. Don't listen, don't turn to their Korban Minchas. Because they know, Justin and Aviram are brilliant people. They know that if they have a character trait, they're too angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, or whatever it is, the way to forgive that hate, the way to get over it, is by bringing a Korban Mincha. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, don't let them come anywhere near you. The Malachi, in Perek Beis, it seems that the Mincha is a kapara for Taibas Nashim. That if you have a desire for certain women, then if you bring a Korban Mincha, then you're going to be able to fix yourself. And that's the way to be able to get rid of that taiva. This is what the mincha was for. The way, the reason why they brought these korban menachos, the reason why they brought them is only to be able to fix up their character traits. Now, it used to be there were four different types of menachos. There were regular menachos, mafe sanur, machabas, and markashas, different types of pans and pots in which they used to bring the korban mincha and how the korban mincha was brought. There are four main categories of bad character traits. There is sadness and laziness. Person doesn't want to get up, person doesn't want to do anything. That's number one. Number two is too much frivolity, where simcha gets a little bit too much, and you start partying to the extreme. That's number two. Number three is taiva, where your desires go all crazy, and you're very, very into what other people have, or what other things are. You want to have everything. Taiva's mammon, taiva's obviously of woman. And number four is anger and gaiva. Kas and gaiva, where you think you're better than everybody else. Those are the four main categories. And the times in the Beis HaMikdash, they knew that each one of these menachos, one of the four, fixed up one of those character traits. And they would come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they'd say to the Kohen, they would go up to the Kohen, they'd say to the Kohen, I want to bring a mincha. The Kohen would say to him, what's wrong with you? What did you do wrong? What character traits do you need to refine? What do you need to work on? And the guy would tell him, I need to work on my gaiva. I need to work on that. What do I do? And the Kohen would tell him, then you got to bring a minchas markashas. You bring the minchas markashas. If the guy would tell him, I have taivis nashim, he'd say, you have to bring a minchas machabas. And you tell him, we don't know how to do this anymore. There's no way for us to do it other than learn musr. That's really just, that's all there is. But the mincha was used specifically for that reason. Because the Kohanim, they had to fix up the garbage of all the people. That's what they were there for. They were there for that very reason.
That almost sounds like confessional. Like, what the Catholic Church does.
What's a Korban Chatos?
Well, yeah, as far as telling over what you did to the Kohen or
I don't think that we're talking about a specific thing. You're talking about a midah that you want to change, a character trait. I didn't say that I looked at a girl. That's not what I said.
No, but
I said, I need to work on my taiva.
You can assume that a Kohen can put two and two together.
But if the person comes in and says, I need to work on my kas, there's nothing specific. Taiva's nashim is very, very general also. What do you mean by taiva's nashim? He's not saying, I was together with my neighbor's wife. He was saying, I have a taiva's nashim. That's all he was saying. So he's not referring to a specific avera, so to speak. That would be a korban itself. That would be the confessional, so to speak. No. The idea of, I'm bringing over this because I did this certain sin. That would be the confessional. But regardless, this is the idea of fixing up those things that are wrong. That's what the mincha is for. And bother, without a question, you have to do tshuva with it. It's not like you just brought the mincha and you're like, now I'm good. Now I'm perfectly fine. I brought a mincha. I brought bread for everybody. Everything's all good now. Of course you got to start working on yourself with it. Of course you have to do that with
not
it.
Not like paying a parking ticket.
Not like that. No, it's going to be more than just that. Obviously, there's going to have to be more there. But the Kohanim had their own mincha. Because the Kohanim had to work on everything altogether. They had to perfect themselves. Since they had to perfect themselves, they had to perfect themselves in all areas. Their mincha, look in Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Dalet, and Pasuk Tes Vav. Their mincha was a combination of all the menachos. It was brought with everything all together. Everything was brought together. It was made in a pan. It was put in a markashas. It was made also with the tufine. All the different parts of the menachos were put together for the Kohen's mincha. Because he had to work on everything together because he was perfecting the people. That's what he was there for. That's what his job was. That's what he was about to do. But the Korban Todah says it all. That's really what everything was for them. Now, one last thing before... this is going to be the last idea. This is the Kedushas Levi, and this takes a little bit of work. So you're going to have to think a little bit for this one. And I'm sorry about that. I know you didn't come here for that. But the Kedushas Levi says you do have to work on this. Kedushas Levi, Oblivious Rebbe, says, a Korban Chatos always precedes a Korban Ola. If you have to bring both, a Chatos and an Ola, Chatos always comes first. The question is why. You think the Ola is more chashuv because the Ola is entirely consumed to God. It's like you're giving everything to God while the chatz is eaten by Kohanim. Why is that better? So there's many reasons. The Kedushas Levi gives the Hasidish a reason, and it's an unbelievable reason. It says the following. A chatos represents what's called Or Yashar. That means light, a fire coming straight down from Shemayim, straight down without me doing anything at all. A fire just comes down and helps me out. That's called Or Yashar. In Ola is called Or Chozer, where the light goes back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It goes back up after I did something, then it goes back. Similar to Purim versus Hanukkah. Purim is Or Chozer, that we worked on ourselves and we made HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a decision for us. We fasted, we did tshuva, and then after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us something, versus Hanukkah, where we did nothing. Yeah, we went to war, but we didn't do tshuva, we didn't work on ourselves, we just went out to war and God gave us everything into our hands, put everything into our hands. That's Or Yashar versus Or Chozer. By the way, that's the difference between a grogger, which is you're holding the grogger from the bottom, and a dreidel, which you hold from the top. Because Or Yashar is on Hanukkah. Or Chozer, something that we did, is on Purim. That's the difference between those two. The Ola is entirely consumed by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's because an Ola is the concept of I'm working on myself. And by working on myself, I don't want to have any part of this korban. I don't want any kohen having any part of this korban. It needs to be brought entirely to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means by Yakrev et olav yaseh kamishpat. You should do it like mishpat. Mishpat is the time when I have to think about what I'm doing. Now here's the idea. There is two types of shefa. Two types of parnasa, of good things that come down from Shemayim. One is purely magnanimous on God's part. It's not because we did anything. He created the world in order to give of His goodness to other people. You didn't do anything for it. He just gives it to you. That's automatic shefa. At other times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down shefa because I worked on myself. Because I davened for it. And I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please bring this to me. And therefore, God said, okay, fine. And He brought it down to me. Again, Or Yashar versus Or Chozer. Those are the two. The former is called Tzitz. The latter is called Tzitzis. That's the difference between the two. That I don't get. And that I'm not even going to try to explain. I'm just telling you that that's what the names are called. Male and female. Or Yashar is the Aleph Beis in that order. Or Yashar is represented by Nisan. Nisan is a time of miracles where Nisan happened for Klal Yisrael and we don't do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us out of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out of this gullus that we're in right now. Nisan is the time where a nace happens. It's known as Aviv. Aviv is Aleph Beis. It's supposed to be in that order where things happen in order. Happens in a perfect order. That's the definition of what Or Yashar is. He's giving it to us. Not because we deserve it. Not because we did anything to deserve to get it from Hashem. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants to give it to us. That's Nisan. Tishrei is when we do tons of mitzvos. We have unbelievable amounts of mitzvos to do. Sukkah and Lulav and Adasim and Aravos and Esrog, as well as all of Rosh Hashanah and all of Yom Kippur. There's a crazy amount of stuff that's going on all throughout the year. 4 days from Yom Kippur until Sukkah is where all we're doing is getting involved in mitzvos. You mamash are doing nothing else. Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres, all the different things that are going on. That's Or Chozer. We did a ton, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down Shefa because we worked so hard on ourselves, therefore God brings it down. That's the month of Tishrei. Tav, Shin, Resh, Kuf. Where it goes backward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it down the other way around. It's not Aleph Beis going the straight way. It's called Or Chozer. It goes back only because I did something. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought something down. By a Chatos, we require something from Hashem. We did something really wrong. To the point where we were Chayiv Kares. If we did it on purpose, you do that thing by accident, you're chayav achatzos. That's really bad. How did you do that by accident? For that, you need a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No matter what I do, what korban I bring, I need a gift from Hashem to be forgiven. That's the concept of Or Yashar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it straight down to us. That's the concept of obvious. That's the concept. But by an ola, it's given by us ourselves. We make a nedava. We donate it. Granted, it's brought for a korban or for a mitzvah. If you did a mitzvah, you didn't do a mitzvah. But the concept concept is an ola is given voluntarily. It's an adava or a neder. That's what Kosher. If I want to give something to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and then a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings something down, that's the difference between the two. That's why an ola always comes before, a chatas always comes before an ola. Because the pure shefa of a Kadosh Baruch Hu bringing something down is always greater than bringing it down just because I asked for it or just because I did something for it. The pure shefa out of the pure chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always greater than a midas hadin type of thing where if he deserves it, then I'll give it to him. That's the difference. And therefore, a chatas always comes before an ola. So to summarize, tzav, we mentioned this for the Kohanim to make sure that they do it with zrizus to tell Bnei Yisrael. The korbanos were versus Torah. We said that the Torah is greater than korbanos in five different ways. We defined it from the pasuk. We mentioned chad gadyal, and we mentioned that it went through all the chitzonim, all the different things, and we mentioned to chad gadyal and how it refers to the korban chagiga and the korban pasach, and how it knocks down the chitzonim, those bad things that are out there. The menachos was a way of perfecting our midos, our character traits, and finally the chatas versus the ola, the difference between a chatas where a Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing it down because he's so great, versus an ola where we have to deserve it and we have to work on it.